Winds that God sends is the message I want to preach today. The winds that God sends. Now, this is an interesting message because it's kind of like a prophetic word. And sometimes I've shared this and people have gone, he's out of his mind. You know, or like they said to Paul, your great learning has driven you mad. You know, they go, it makes no sense to me. I don't get it. Leave me alone. And so I posted one of these up on Facebook, on our Facebook page. And one guy wrote in and he goes, this is nonsense. I have no idea what this is about. And so if you're here and this makes no sense to you, I encourage you, go on the website and find one of the other sermons and maybe they'll minister to you. But I do think that part of what the Lord wants us to do is to catch some sense of a spiritual understanding about what he's been saying to us as a church and what he's doing among us, because if you have spiritual wisdom and understanding, that is a profound gift. If you understand what the season is and you understand what the Holy Spirit's trying to do, it makes it gloriously easy to co-labor with him and go with him in what he's trying to do. If you have no spiritual understanding, no perception about what God's about, then the only thing left to you is your own perception and what your five senses can kind of send you as messages. But this is not that. So around about September last year, I had a conversation with the Lord, I believe, and he said, are you interested to hear what winds I'm sending across the church? And so I wasn't even aware that he was sending winds across the church. So I was like, yeah, I really would like to know. That'd be a really interesting conversation. And so the Lord began to take me through the concept that God uses winds. And it should have been obvious to me, but it wasn't. And so he took me to Numbers 11, and there's this great story where Israel is grumbling because they're tired of manna, which is, Psalm says, is the bread of angels. And they get tired of eating this manna day after day after day, and they've had manna burgers, and then they've had manna pizza, and they've had manna salad, and, you know, they're like, we need something else. And so they said, we want meat. And they said, when we were in Egypt, we sat around pots of meat with garlics and leeks and onions. They must have, you could smell the Israelites from afar, you know, they obviously. And so they go, we remember those were the good old days. And they forgot the lashes, the bleeding lashes on their backs, and they forgot the hard labor. They just remembered the and I honestly don't believe it was great meat. I think it was, you know, the second-hand chicken that the Egyptians didn't want. So they're grumbling, oh, those were the good old days when we didn't have to eat this manna when we had meat. And so they demanded that God give them meat. And so let's pick up the story in Numbers 11 from verse 31. Now a wind went out from the Lord. That's an interesting way of saying that. It didn't say a wind blew. It says a wind went out from the Lord. In other words, it's a commissioned wind. A wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea, and it scattered them up 2 cubits or around about 3 feet deep, all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. How far can you walk in a day? 3 feet deep, quail, a day's walk in any direction. So God sends a wind. There's obviously this huge flock of quail. God sends a wind and says, listen to the wind. Coax that flock of quail to land exhausted around the tents of Israel. So, and we'll get to Psalm 78, it says that the south wind and the east wind blew this flock of quail up and down, up and down, up and down, until the quail were so exhausted that when the wind stopped, they just fell down. 3 feet deep, a day's walk in every direction around the tents of Israel. Imagine your kids are playing outside and the quail start falling. All right, kids, come inside the tent. Now, quail on the roof of the tent. Sometimes the stuff that you crave from God and he gives it to you, then you go, oh, such a great idea. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. 2 days and one night's worth of quail gathering. No one gathered less than 10 homers, which is about 1.75 tons. How hungry do you have to be? I mean, seriously, people. I've heard about taking more than, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. But, and then they spread them all out, all around the camp. So the quail falls, they pick them up, they kill them, they're plucking quail, they're taking entrails out, they're drying out the quail. So now they've got meat for the next while. But while the meat was still between the teeth, before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them down with a severe plague. Most Bible commentators say that much quail and that much sickness would have broken out. Therefore, the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, Graves of Craving, because there they buried the people who had craved other food. Now, Psalm 78 says about the same story, that he let loose the east wind from the heavens and by his power made the south winds blow. So the east winds and the south winds are blowing, and he rained meat down on them like dust, birds like the sand of the seashore, and he made them come down inside their camp all around their tents, and they ate till they were gorged, for he had given them what they craved. Now, earlier in Psalm 78, he explains why God got angry with them. It wasn't because they asked boldly. It was because they asked in unbelief. They spoke against God, saying, there's no way God could do this. People say, but Greg, you always preach about shameless audacity. You must ask for shameless audacity. Yes, that's what Jesus taught us. And people go, oh, but they asked. And then now look what happened. God got angry with them. No, God got angry with them because their question when they asked, it was an accusation. It was a statement of unbelief. There's no ways God could pull this off. So Psalm 78 says they willfully put God to the test by demanding the food that they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, he struck the rock and water gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. So they go, okay. We'll give you that one. We were thirsty and then Moses struck the rock and then water came out for 3 million people and all our flocks. Okay. We'll give you that miracle. But can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was furious, and his fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel. Why? For they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. God doesn't mind you asking bold. He just likes it when you mix the bold ask with some faith. There's nothing wrong with bold. See, God employs winds. He sent this wind. He said, listen, wind, east wind, south wind, I want you to pick up this flock of quail, and because quail only fly about 6 feet above the ground. Because, like, I want you to keep them going for a day. Just make them exhausted. And then blow them over here. And then when Israel camps, when the quail are exhausted, stop blowing. Millions of quail delivered by the east wind. How about the time the Lord said to Moses, lift up your arm, and he does, and the east wind blows, and the sea opens, and holds up the sea like this. How about the time when the Lord says, send the east wind to blow in locusts. So east wind blows in locusts, and there's locusts all over the nation of Egypt that consume everything. And Pharaoh says, okay, I stop. And the Lord says, okay, west wind, blow. And the west wind blows all the locusts out of Egypt into the sea. There are some winds that God employs. God employs winds. There are some headwinds and there's some tailwinds. There are some things that blow. It's like a season that happens in your life, and this is the prevailing wind of God. And you can either fight that and go, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. But there are winds that go out from the Lord, I believe. And every wind that goes out from the Lord is sent to accomplish a task. They do his bidding. And everyone born of the Spirit will be able to hear the sound of the blowing winds. That's what John 3 said. John, the Greek word and the Hebrew word of spirit and wind are the same. It's the same concept. Somebody born of the wind of God will understand the wind of God. They'll hear its sound. They'll be moved by the Spirit of God. And others will hear its sound, but they won't know what's going on. But those who are born of the Spirit, born of the wind, will be moved by the winds of God. That's just the reality of it. Now, if we're going to lean into the winds that God sends, if we go with them and we learn to navigate them, that's just a wise thing. But if we fight the winds that God is sending, that's just exhausting. So if you don't understand what God is doing, what winds he's blowing across your life, you tend to want to fight the season. And if you fight the season in winter and you go out and plant plants and like you're expecting them to come up like it's springtime, and then you wonder why they're not flourishing. Well, because you're fighting the season. And sometimes when the Lord is doing something in our lives, if you learn to navigate the wind, you can soar on wings as eagles. And if you don't understand it, you end up just staring into a headwind. So let me suggest four winds that I believe the Lord spoke to us back in September last year. The winds that he said, these are the winds I'm blowing. And so when the Lord said, would you like to understand what I'm doing? I said, I'd love to. And he said, well, these are some of the winds that I'm releasing across Northlands and our members, and this is what I believe. So the first one is the winds of change. The Lord said, I'm releasing a wind of change. And this wind of change is a spirit-driven season of rearrangement, of change, of new beginnings and old endings. And if I could tell you just the amount of things that have changed in our church in the last 6 months, it's unbelievable. Just about everything is going to change by the end of this year. Within 1 year of the Lord saying that, I think just about everything is up for change. And I'm very intrigued by that because I feel like the Lord's going, well done for the past season. Well done. It was beautiful. It was glorious. You were in a foundation laying season. It's done. It's now. Now there's time for change. And I believe that one of the things you're going to discover in your life is that the Lord's call for you to change is going to be in the air. You're going to feel the winds of change. And if you surrender to the winds of change, and if you have a little boldness to say, Lord, come and change. What do you want to change? I think you'd be surprised at what the Lord would change. Not just the things that you don't like, but some of the things that you very dearly prize. He goes, that's wonderful. I can do better. And you can do better too. And until you let go of this, you're not going to grab onto that. And so he's kind of urging some people to let go of the old and embrace the new. And we've discovered this across the board in our church. It's pretty much happening all the time. And I just want to encourage you. I feel like this wind, I realized I hadn't preached this to the church. I've told the leaders that we've spoken about this. We've seen it. It's been manifesting for the longest time. And so I realized, hey, maybe we should tell the church this is what's going on. So I apologize for the tardiness of the message. But I want to encourage many of you in this place and that there is a wind of change that I believe is God-sent, spirit-driven change. And if you want to embrace this wind and cooperate with it, if you want to catch the power of this wind and begin to soar on it, then my suggestion is that you as a family go before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you like to change? What is it in our household, in our lifestyle, in our focus? What do you want to change? Because I think there are some things that if you just lend your ear to the Lord just for a few minutes, you'd begin to hear him say, well, I'd like to move that, and I'd like to change that, and I want to rearrange this. And I think some of that is going to mean necessary endings, and not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes we have to say thank you. That season is now done, and I'm starting a new thing. There is a change that is coming, and we've had to embrace a number of changes. We've changed, I don't think there's a single elder or deacon on our team that hasn't changed their function in the last 6 months. I think we've changed the way the church is structured. I think we've changed the way there are three kind of shepherding congregations within this one greater congregation. I think we've changed so much that is going on in the church. We've changed a lot of focus online. We've changed a lot of different things. Michelle and I are traveling more than we have this year. A lot of change coming, and that's a very, very good thing. See, if you see it, if you don't understand, this is a spirit-driven thing that the Holy Spirit's doing, you might be tempted to resist it. In fact, it's human nature to resist it. The Bible says no one who tastes the new wine says, oh, that's great. Everyone who tasted the old wine and the new wine says the old is better, right? And so people go, oh, the old, man, those were the good old days. Remember, okay, so we were lashed and our backs were bleeding, but man, there was garlic in the meat, you know. So I suddenly realized this is what the Lord had been saying, and then I began to listen to what some of the people who've come in the last year into our church, what they've been prophesying, and I realized the Lord's been trying to tell us this for a while. So let me just play you just some of the prophetic words, one from Peter Rasmussen, and the next one is from Johnny Endlow, and I'm going to invite you to just listen with ears that kind of hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to our church. Let's go ahead with those.
God keeps, every time I pray for you, God keeps talking to me about 2 years. Now, I'm not altogether sure what that means, but all I know is that the next 2 years are important. And so I thought I'd just submit that to you. I think there's a really key time in front of you. And it's like the Holy Spirit, every time I pray, keeps remind them about the 2 years. So I said, okay, I will. The next 2 years are really important for you. And God's got a very definite plan, something he wants to unlock with you in this next season ahead of you. A change of season, I think, is on you.
A feel in the spirit for what's going on here. And I kept seeing a repeat vision of what I think is your church angel pulling you through a narrow place. And of course, I felt like you're pregnant in the spirit. And I believe you've had babies in the spirit, if you know this kind of terminology. But I believe your leaders that have come from South Africa many years ago, really there's the next level of destiny that is on you, that there is an acceleration in the spirit for that to manifest. And I could feel it happening and feeling there's like this angel is pulling you through. And pulling you through a tight place, like to be born into a wide open place, that which will be more. I feel like I haven't talked to you about it, Greg and Michelle, but I think this is wonderful. You're excited about what God is already doing, but he has shown you so much more than what you've seen so far, and I believe you're about to be pulled into that. And so it's exciting.
All right. So Peter said, there's a season of change coming on you, about 2 years. And Johnny Enlow said, there's this new beginning. The angel's trying to pull you into a new beginning. So I suddenly realized, if you have ears to hear what the Lord's been saying to us as a church, the change is here. In fact, as we used to say, the only constant is constant change is here to stay. And so a change is going to be happening in the church. And I pretty much guarantee you, if you were to just stop and look at your own life, how much has changed in the last 6 months? And I think we have at least another year of this to go. I think the Lord is about, there is a wind of change. Change of careers, change of family relationship, change of ministry base, change of all sorts of things. Change is the wind that is blowing. And it's a good wind. And I would just like to encourage you to, rather than fight it and resist it, because all that happens is if you resist the winds that God is sending, you just get tired, right? It's not wise, you just get tired. And so the better thing is to learn to navigate it. Stretch your wings, open your heart to it, let it catch, learn to fly. You can mount up with wings as eagles on the winds of God. They're very, very delightful. Second wind that I want to talk about are the winds of what I call restoration and resistance. The wind of restoration and resistance. It's the same wind. It has two names. Simply, it's the wind of restoration to the humble, to those people whose hearts are turned towards the Lord, who are walking in humility. This wind is like a launching wind. It will pick you up. It'll restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. It's the winds of restoration. It's going to elevate and grow and cause to emerge everybody who has walked in humility, and it's going to be a beautiful restoration. Move of God. God is going to restore. I'm prophesying. I believe this wind is going to bring a restoration of your life. God is going to restore to you gifts that you used to use and that you've stopped. God is going to restore to you financial opportunities that you thought were gone. God is going to restore to you ministry opportunities and positions that you thought you'd lost. God is going to restore to you family and friends and influence that you thought you'd never had again. This is the wind of restoration. But for those who are arrogant and are not facing God, it is the winds of resistance. I believe it's a simple test. This wind will blow, and if your If your wings are set to humility and heart after God, this wind is going to cause elevation and lift, and you're going to fly. But if your elevation is set towards arrogance and your heart is not turned towards God, this wind is going to drive you down. Does that make sense? So that's why I think it's a double-barreled name. It's the winds of restoration, and it's also the wind of resistance. It's a spirit-driven wind that will enable and restore those whom God trusts, and it will resist those who are arrogant. One of the things that we learned is that I think the Lord wants to bring about something of His design with our church and with the people of our church. And so recently when Graham Cook was here, we had a leaders meeting and we met with Graham, and Graham brought this very interesting comment. It wasn't a prophetic word, it was like a comment that Graham brought our church, but it was tremendously helpful, I think. So let me play that for you, and then we'll talk it through.
This isn't a word from the Lord, yeah. Really. It's more of an observation, maybe a prophetic observation. But I think probably more of just an observation that you're a company of people who punch above your weight. And, you know, you're a company that I believe the Lord trusts. Yeah, I meet a lot of churches that are learning to trust the Lord, and I meet a lot of churches that He doesn't really trust. These two things God's doing with us, teaching us to trust and coming to a place where He knows He can trust us with something. And my prayer has always been, Lord, would You trust me with this? Would You trust me with that? Would You trust me with the prophetic? Would You trust me with the reformation? Would You trust me with, you know? And I think there is a real hunger and a thirst here for an absolute reality with God. And I wanted to say, you know, in the kingdom, there is no box. You know, it is a limitless life. Yeah. And we are unconfined in Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that freedom means we have to be unconfined. In terms of how, you know, the length and breadth and height and depth, you know, there's, and I think you guys could do it, you know, and so I think it's important that we live with the sky above us, you know, and I think, you know, when God takes the roof off, it's because He wants to reach in and do things, but He also wants us to reach up and become someone. I think you have that capacity, and I think you have that permission. So I wanted to put it in a prophetic context because I think it is permission and promise that the Lord is just saying, why don't we start the business of you being unconfined?
Very cool.
And, you know, don't think outside the box, don't think beyond it, because there is no box. So let's start with no box and go from there.
I loved that little discussion with Graham. The concept of there is no box. Don't think outside the box. It's a bad way to think. There is no box. That you live unconfined in Christ. That there is an open sky above you. That the wind that God wants to send across our life is the wind of restoration that will elevate us and bring us to a place of glorious freedom. That there's no, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that thing that's in your heart. Oh, no, we don't do that here. I think the Lord wants to elevate us out of that place. He wants to cause a wind to blow, the winds of restoration, and elevate us and bring us to the place where you begin to chase the dreams that God's putting in your heart, where that whisper that you've dreamed a dream and you've never seen it happen anywhere and nobody thinks it's a great idea, but that you begin to feel the bite of it and the weight of it and the fire begin in your belly about maybe we could do this thing. And I just want to say go for it, because I think there's a wind blowing right now. For anybody who's humble and whose heart is after God, I think this wind is going to lift you up to places and you're going to be able to reach things and you're going to be able to attain things that you never thought you could attain. So it's time to dream. It's time to stir and dust off those old dreams of your heart and just set your heart to humility and to seeking God. And I think you're going to find that this wind of restoration is going to blow over your life. Don't set your heart towards arrogance. You're just going to find a headwind. It's not going to allow you to elevate. It's not going to be good. The third wind is what I believe the Lord has said over us as a church, but I think over us as individuals as well. It's the wind of expansion. The winds of expansion. I feel like the Lord said, I want to take Northlands airborne. And I saw a picture of like a rose garden, and then a mile away, the wind blew through the rose garden, and then a mile away, people go, there's roses. Where are the roses? And I think that's what the Lord said. I want to take you airborne. I take the fragrance of what I'm doing here. I'm going to take it global. So I said that, as is usual, the Lord asks you to say it before you see it. And so I said it, and then the phone began to ring. And I think, if the Lord is willing, we'll probably have ministered to around 10,000 church leaders before the end of this year on grace and church government and of what some of the things the Lord is saying here. It's like gone airborne. And we didn't call anybody. They all called us, you know. And so the Lord said it, and then he's manifesting it, and then it's been such a privilege and an honor. But I think this is a spirit-driven desire to take us airborne and to seed and to send the fragrance of Northlands further afield around the globe. So let me just play three prophetic words. Is this still okay? Are you still happy? Can you hear them? I'm sorry the quality wasn't that good. I would have asked the media team to do it, and I just did it quickly because the Lord, I had a different sermon yesterday. I had a really different sermon, but last night I felt like the Lord go, hey, can you get on my page? I was like, sure. So let me play these three. The first one is Peter Rasmussen talking about us being airborne. Then Leif Hetland, what he said that he feels like the Lord's going to do. And then the second one is Peter Rasmussen when he talked about battle above our status. So let's...
The funny thing is, I'm not particularly prophetic, which may be a bit odd to you, because every time I come here, I seem to have something prophetic to deliver to the church, and I do again today. It must be you that are influencing me in some way. But I, as I was praying for you, I felt the Lord begin to speak to me about you. And the word, the first word that he gave me was the word DNA. And I felt him speak to me about your DNA, that there was a uniqueness, there was a thing in you, a DNA in you, a strain from heaven, something particularly uniquely crafted. I know when you look around at churches, I see a lot of ordinariness, a lot of sameness, but I felt the Lord say about you a uniqueness, a unique strain of DNA. From heaven. And I wanted to say that that's to your credit as a local church. But I also felt that that unique flavor and feel to you is what you're to give the world. There is a uniqueness in you. There's not a sameness, not an ordinariness of what comes out of you. You're to give the unique characteristics of the DNA of heaven that God's put into you to the world. Now, I felt with regards to your DNA, when you arrive, you're going to arrive in places. And I know that not all of you in this room are necessarily going to travel, but you're going to arrive in places in the world, and your DNA is already there. I felt the Lord say that. So, you know, Greg kind of mentioned these words about you having gone airborne, you know, stuff that God's doing with has gone up in the air. And the thing about being in the air and the wind of God and it's blowing. Stuff's going around the world. Things are going to places that you've never been. But you are there. And some of your DNA is getting planted into different places. And you are going to arrive in places it feels like you're back at Northlands. Feels like, but we've never been here. Because something of your DNA has been implanted there. And that's part of the grace of God on you. There's something that he's doing. He's planting you into different places. And you will run into yourself. You'll run into your DNA in different parts of the world. So be careful. Be attentive on the uniqueness of you, the uniqueness of this DNA. It's almost like the Lord is saying, be watchful, because there is something that I'm planting around the world.
morning because I believe that God is about to start a goodness revolution from this church. I really did. It came very clear into my spirit even when I watched this, but it's going to be a goodness revolution starting with the goodness of God. It's going to create a mass repentance also, because that's what happens is when people are experiencing the goodness and the kindness of God in a tangible way. So how does God's goodness look like on a daily basis? And how is that going to be displayed? It's going to be through generosity. We're going to see a lot of healings. But just, we're going to start intentionally as a people just to have a lot of fun with this. And for the first 28 days, as you're going to be able to see you the way that Papa God sees you. When you look in the mirror and you're able to see you the way that he sees you. I know that you believe in him. And at the moment you believe in him, you get saved. At the moment you believe in Jesus. But at the moment you know Jesus believes in you, you get transformed. And there is something that he wants to do in our life. We're going to first taste and we're going to receive. And we're going to experience his goodness in a way we've never experienced it before. That is going to actually do something in us, to us, with us, and through us. And then this goodness is going to start to spread.
It's the Holy Spirit was wanting to download with you as a church. I do believe, and this was kind of the sense that I had from the Lord, that you are going to bat above your status. You're going to... You know, you were due to play in the little leagues, but you're going to play in the pros. That kind of idea. I really felt in God that he wanted you to kind of bat above your place. There was something else that God has that he wants to unlock from this church that is not a natural thing. You'd look at the church and say, well, kind of, we have an influence here because of who we are. Well, the Lord's saying, no, not because of who you are. I'm gonna allow you to have an influence here, substantially above what maybe kind of you would naturally think. I think Greg and Michelle in themselves, and we've been friends for many years, as Greg said, have always batted above their place. They've always allowed their ministry and their gift has been an incredible impact into our nation, into our church, but even wider than that, into the nations of the world. And I think God's allowing you to catch up. I really do. That's what I sense this morning. He's wanting to release something fresh and new on all of you to catch up into this call that he has for you as a church. It's kind of closing the gap. All participating in this call, all participating in this apostolic adventure that God has for you as a church. And he's allowing all of you to catch up with it. God has a large circle of influence for this church, much larger than what you would think. And he is wanting to expand that. He wants all of you to catch that and to live in it and catch up with what God is doing. You're an apostolic household. I don't know whether anybody said that. I'm sure people have said it over you, even prophetically. But you are an apostolic household as a church. And God will raise up many spiritual fathers from this house. Many spiritual fathers.
I know this is a little different to what you're used to in the Sunday morning. But I think sometimes there's a preached word and there's a prophesied word. I want us to just get a catch, a little bit of the wind of what God has been saying. He's been saying this is an apostolic house. You're supposed to go. Graham Cook said you'll punch above your weight. Peter Rasmussen said you'll bat above your status. It's the same thing the Lord keeps saying to our church, that there is an influence in the nations that far that goes much broader than people would think that a church our size could have. We're supposed to be in the nations, and there are teams of skilled people. It was another prophecy. They're not going to travel from this churches. Our DNA is going to go out there. God wants the fragrance of what he's doing here. The goodness revolution, Leif Hetland said, first you need to experience the goodness, and then you're going to cause a goodness revolution around the globe. There is something that God has of an apostolic heart that you and I need to capture. God wants to take this airborne, and that means that you and I have to engage ourselves in a little bit more than just me and my world. I have to lift up my vision and begin to see outside. I have to begin to see other cities and other nations and to the furthest ends of the earth. We have to begin to look up and say, as a church, this is part of the call of God on our lives, and we have to reorient ourselves. We have to change the way we give financially. We have to change the structures of where we go and what we do. We have to go and serve churches in nations where they can't afford to pay us to come. Does that make sense? This is part of being an apostolic household. This is why God wants to favor us. This is why God wants to do something. This is why the Lord keeps talking about be very careful about the recipe, the DNA of what is here, because what is here is very important to the Lord because he wants to take it around the globe. And so this is part of what the Lord's saying. I'm going to rush through. I wish I didn't have to, but the last wind the Lord said was the winds of hope. I said, Lord, what are you sending? He said, I'm sending the winds of hope. Because this world is about to, there's a hopelessness that is one of the weapons that has been formed against the world by the enemy right at this in this time and against this generation. Hopelessness, there is no hope for you, is the message that the enemy is trying to send around the globe. And many, many people who don't know the Lord Jesus are buying into that. There is no hope for this generation. Even some people who ought to know better, who love the Lord Jesus, are buying into the hopelessness that the enemy is trying to sell. But the Spirit of God is sending a wind, the winds of hope are blowing across the church. You know why? Because only the church can be moved by that wind. And so the church is going to be one of the most hopeful beacons on the planet. The church is going to be full of hope. And this is what the scripture says. You can overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. You go, Greg, you don't understand how precious my situation is. Yes, I do. You need to lift your eyes a little bit and lift your understanding a little bit to know that the wind of hope is blowing. And if you just would quieten yourself long enough to catch the wind, you can begin to soar on the winds of hope in the middle of a desperate situation. Am I talking to anybody in the place? So I think one of the things we have to do is we have to learn to go, okay, Lord, I want to step out of just the natural. I'm going to step into a supernatural. All right, I'm stepping out. Give me hope. Because I'm looking at this thing and it looks hopeless. So I'm just not going to just rely on what I see. I'm going to open my heart to the winds that you and the overflowing hope of the Holy Spirit begins to stir. And then ideas begin to propose themselves and solutions begin to offer. And then you go, well, we could do this. What about if we did that? But you're never going to come to those solutions. You're never going to hear that voice if you buy into hopelessness and fear and you submit to those. So one of the gifts, one of the gracious gifts of the Lord to the church right now is he's blowing across the church winds of hope. And I just want to say to you, if you're one of those people who feels hopeless and who's in fear and trepidation, I just want to say, I dare you to just open up your heart and your wings and say, Holy Spirit, would you lift me on the wings of hope? There are winds of hope that are blowing right now. And they'll make all the difference in the world. And some of us in this room today, you are in desperate need of these winds. God, Lord, I really need them. Now, this wind of hope is a spirit-driven wind to ignite overflowing hope among a fear-filled and hopeless world. That's what it's supposed to do. And it's blowing across the church, see? It's not just because the people, because here's the truth. If you're not born of God, you can't sense the wind of God. But if you are born of God, this is your nature. You're designed to feel the Holy Spirit's movement. And so if you will just stop long enough and just quieten yourself and go, Holy Spirit, breathe on me, blow the wind, you'll feel hope begin to stir in your spirit. Don't let your mind quench that. Let hope flow. Let it stir. Let it bubble up from within you. You'll become one of the most hopeful people, and people around you will be drawn to you. You'll be like an island in the ocean, like an oasis in the desert. Let me just play one more from Johnny and Love.
Tina, Greg and Michelle seen a vision of a very large and thick foundation. And he was saying that represented Northland's church, that he had actually just finished the foundation. But it was so thick that it's obviously intended to be something very significant in the spirit. In fact, I heard right away, apostolic hub. And I feel like he showed me that the foundation had been sown in grace. There's apostolic grace in the foundation. And now he's going to build an apostolic hope. And I believe that will be a theme. Not that you shift from grace. Grace stays there. But there's an understanding of hope. You know, hope is not just wishful thinking. Hope is the expectation of good from God in every area of life. And when we don't have that, we're not connected to his hope. And he's called in the scripture the God of hope. And I believe there's an invitation for you to be a people of outrageous hope. And, you know, like nonsensical hope, Pollyanna hope. and for that spirit to be released in this place, and for people to get it as a virus, that it'll be like a Holy Ghost viral infection they receive when they come into this building, that they can believe in a God that's bigger and greater than anything they've ever seen or thought of before. So it's a real exciting time for you. I do believe that the Apostolic Center and Apostolic Hub is something that's going to be very significant in the coming days, both in the city, in the nation, and among the nations. And I believe the Lord with you and with the way that you operate very intentionally and you think strategically, that's been good. And now he's going to add, you know, this may not have been your plan to start building this year, but he builds on top of the Grace Foundation now. There's what we try to do, and we're not sure if we're ahead of him or behind him in sometimes, but that's what he's going to be doing. And I believe he's releasing outrageous hope among you.
All right. So I believe there are four winds. There are more, but we don't have time. There are four winds that I think are pertinent to us today that I believe are blown by the Holy Spirit across the church. They're constant prevailing winds. And if they're, because they're constant and prevailing, they're an opportunity, they're a call for anybody who wants to surrender to them to receive their benefit. It's not like the Lord's going, no, you can have this, but you can't. He's going, here's the wind. Anybody who opens their hearts, who opens their wings and goes, Lord, I want to sail on this wind. This is for you. So there are winds of change. There are winds of restoration. There are winds of expansion. And there are winds of hope. And I'd like to pray a prayer. And I want to invite you, together with me, to be one of those people who says, Lord, I'm opening my heart and my wings and everything in my life. I'm setting my sails. I'm trimming my life. I'm focusing my agenda to capture everything that you're sending. And I want to soar on these wings like eagles. And so would you join me in that prayer? Let's pray together. Father, we want to just say thank you that this change is authored by you. And so, Lord, we pray for our lives that every change that would advance the kingdom, Lord, that you would do it now, Lord, and do it quickly. We, Lord, not only surrender to the change, but we want to co-labor in the change. Help us, Lord, be great change agents. Bring about, Lord, a fresh, beautiful new day, Lord. Do the pruning of what is necessary and what is old growth that needs to go, and bring forth, Lord, a brand new harvest of righteousness. We surrender, Lord, to this wind. We celebrate the winds of change and thank you for it, Lord. And for those of us, Lord, who are nervous about change, give us peace. And, Lord, show us the beauty of the new in Jesus' name. For, Lord, we open our hearts to the restoration, the winds of restoration of God. We humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, we set our hearts to seek you. And we pray, Lord, that as we do, that you'd begin to restore to us, Lord, opportunity. Restore, Lord, in the things of the Spirit. Restore, Lord, power. Restore opportunities. Restore, Lord, positions in influence, Lord. Restore to us, Lord, peace in our families. Bring profound restoration, Lord, because we set our hearts to you. We ask, Lord, and say thank you for this wind that blows, this wind of restoration. And Lord, we just give you honor. Lift, Lord, people out of the mud and the mire. Lift them out of places, Lord, where they've been caught again and again. And just lift them out, Lord, by this wind of restoration and bring about a distinct new day in many, many lives for this call, Lord, to an apostolic expansion. We pray, Lord, that you teach us all. We surrender as a church, Lord. Lord, this is your word over us. This is your will for this church. So we say, yes, Lord, amen. We will be on it, Lord. We'll be going and we'll be apostolic. And, Lord, not just one or two of us, but all of us. Lord, many apostolic fathers and mothers are going to travel. Teams of people are going to travel, Lord. The whole church is called to catch up to this apostolic call. We say, yes, Lord, we want this. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. We open our hearts and our minds and our wings, Lord, to the winds of expansion. Take us airborne, Lord, and take us around the globe, but only, Lord, let it be to your glory in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we surrender to the wind of hope. Cause us to overflow and to soar with hope, Lord. Lord, this unreasonable, unbelievable, and yet, Lord, remarkably powerful hope. And give us, Lord, along with that hope, the optimism and the clarity that comes from hope, Lord. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. And Lord, you're gonna stir up hope again. You said we'll be a church known for the hope that we share. And on the foundation of this grace, you're going to stir up, Lord, this hope. So we say, do it again, Lord. And do it in me and do it in my family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.